And we are back. Another week out of the money. So disappointing.
But sure.
Yeah, we didn't crack it. We came really close, but it was kind of like one of those sneaky 4 p.m. games. We're all hitting at 45 points and 50 points. And so the points snuck up on us, but we never really had a handle on last week. We went for broke, though. We played the big game, and it didn't work, and we're going back to basics. So with that, Acorn Hills is sponsoring Alex's America's Pick of the Week. Alex, why don't you start us off for week 13 and get us right?
Well, because Acorn Hills is sponsoring this, we decided we were going to target a specific game that'll have a lot of points and a lot of throws in the air, and that's the Miami-Washington game. So I'm going to take this sponsorship opportunity, and I'm going to spend all of your money and go with Tyreek Hill for the first pick, for my pick of the week. So I don't think I really need to justify why. It's a great matchup for Miami to throw. If the Commanders can keep it remotely competitive, the Miami still is something to fight for right now, right? So they've got to win the game. Tyreek has had no less than 10 targets in any game. He's had two games all year without a touchdown. I don't think I need to say anything more. We all know who he is.
So the next closest wide receiver in terms of projections is 5 points lower. It's rare that we'll allow Alex to just spend freely, like he's Dwight Schrute looking for, whatever that moniker thing was, or the piece was.
I'm taking the ply out of the toilet paper.
I mean, it's a 5 point difference between him and Keenan Allen as the next highest projection. So it makes perfect sense. If you want to, put your money behind someone, it's Tyreek this week.
His floor is honestly 20 points, right?
It is.
His ceiling is 50. So, I mean,
there's a lot of different outcomes. Like you mentioned, when we pick these types of guys, A, he's so expensive that I think a lot of people just might not play him. But B, we think the game has to be a back and forth 60 to 59 shootout. Tyreek can get all of the points we need from him in the first half, and then they may blow the Commanders out, and it doesn't matter. So, there's a lot of different ways to get to that outcome. And I think he is pretty automatic, especially against the Commanders, who have been their second in the league in terms of pass funnel. Like, they just get thrown on at will. Only team that's worse is the Eagles, and that's for different reasons. But yeah, it's just bank the points. He's good for that every week. Every week.
I love it, Al. Great work again, as always.
Yep, we're all done.
Yep, thank you.
That's it. You guys figure out the rest, all right? We can't give you winners every week.
Muddy Maddie with the pick of the week. But yeah. Maddie, do you want to talk about that Eagles game a little bit? We've got a couple little pieces of action there.
Yeah, we did settle. I know we were talking just before we got on here. Did we officially settle on a running back piece? Was that a flex?
Yeah, we went with Swift in the flex.
Okay, so we're going to go with Swift in the flex just because, A, we want a little piece of that game, I think. It sets up really well in terms of both teams being talented, pace, the matchups. It sets up in such a way where there's only one way to attack both of those defenses, and no one's had any success doing otherwise. So it might just be that. There's always the potential that it just somehow becomes a defensive battle where nobody wants to give anything away because they may play each other again in the playoffs here soon. But I don't know. That's pretty far away. We can't, account for every one of those permutations. So we're going to play Swift. He is going to need to catch a lot of passes. He's going to need to score from well outside of the red zone because his tush is not the one that gets pushed. So, but he can break long runs, and we want guys with upside. We want home run hitters, right?
It's not. And he hasn't had the home runs this year, right? His longest rush and his longest reception are 32 and 34 yards respectively, I think. So, I think let's get him into the lineup. He's bound to break one at some point. And I just see a 425 shootout between these teams. As good as both defenses are, sometimes it just doesn't matter. And they're both playing to get one bye. There's one bye in the playoffs. And they're looking at it. And they both have to win this game just to get it. Because the Eagles have Dallas next week. And San Francisco has a few other matchups that are a little tricky later.
Yeah. The line hasn't moved much either. Strangely enough, like the game was, it opened as a pick 'em and now it's Niners minus 3 and they're on the road.
Interesting. At Philly too.
At Philly. Yeah. Okay. But the over under hasn't budged by more than a point. So
I'm going to bet Philly in that game, man. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. Take the points.
That feels like a take the points. You could even go money line to get a little bit of extra juice there. Yeah.
And then at wide receiver, we talked about Ayuk, and we're all Brandon Ayuk fans here on the podcast. He's welcome to join anytime.
Yep.
But
Arizona State.
We wanted to save a little bit of money and go with Debo. And they're starting to get him a little bit more involved in the offense. I look back at the NFC Championship game last week is a little bit of a throwaway because of the injuries and at quarterback and Debo was playing, you know, wildcat, you know, quarterback with McCaffrey or running back, whatever. But he had 12 touches in the game. And what I've noticed is every game against potential playoff teams, you're seeing 10 to 12 touches from Debo, whether that's targets, rushing attempts, et cetera. And he's another guy that, like, he can get in the end zone from 80 yards out. So,
And the Eagles are most, and we saw this last week with Kincaid, who runs a lot of his routes out of the slot, they're most susceptible there. And that's not really where Ayuk lives. He's a boundary receiver. So, you know, and we always say about Debo, there's a lot of different ways he can get you there. He can get you there with an end around. You're just going to get manufactured touches. So there's, you know, we'll take the savings. Plus, he's got a few more ways that he can hit. And we like that.
Love it. So getting back to Alex's point about the game that we wanted to target, Miami, Washington. The quarterback there, Sam Howell. He's turned the ball over. He has the most, like, sack yards lost. Etc. But he's flinging it 50 times a game.
Yep. Yeah, the Dolphins aren't even really a good defense to the middle of the pack in terms of what they give up to quarterbacks, like quite frankly, right in the middle. But the volume's there. And to AB's point earlier, it's very likely that game script will have them trailing, which means they're going to be throwing a bunch. So, you know, you can expect a pick or two and a couple sacks, but he's definitely going to be throwing the ball. I don't know to who. We never really know. We can't seem to get it right every week. It's like, is it Dotson? Is it McLaurin? Sometimes it's like randomly just a tight end. So I don't know. I mean, AB, I think ultimately he's going to throw a ton of passes. Volume's good. Maybe we get some garbage time out of him.
That's what I'm hoping. And I'm just looking at his stats right now as we go through this. And in the last month, he only had one game under 300 yards total thrown. And that was 256. So it wasn't that bad. The only thing that scares me is the interception stats, right?
Yeah. Maybe we get lucky and it's a shootout and he's in the game too. Like, I think there's a lot, like, again, there's a lot of outs there for him, and quarterback is kind of gross this week. I know Tua's matchup is great, but what if they go up big and just run the ball? Hurts. But
also, Tua is overpriced at 8,400.
Way.
Because even if Tyreek scores a ton of points, Tua doesn't always go with him.
No, he's only had over 25 points once this whole season. Yeah. Most of his games are in the 15, 16, 17, and that's not really going to get you good value up there. So
people seem to love him, but yet Dak Prescott is secretly becoming one of the best fantasy quarterbacks in the league, right? He's going under the radar.
People can't have a rational conversation about Dak. It's insane. No. He's the most polarizing quarterback. It's crazy. Like, you only hear from people when he has like a random game where he throws some picks, but now no one's talking about him. And he's right now, he's the leader for MVP. There's nobody.
Yeah, he should be.
Should be. So it's just, his career is insane. Like, you, people cannot have a conversation about him without
being
objective.
No one wants to put him in their top 10. Mm-hmm. And he has been for the last 3 years, 4 years, other than the injury year.
Yep. It's just because of Dallas's playoff situation. If they can win a game or two, then this conversation changes. But
yeah, he can't win in the playoffs. Like, how many of these guys do? Almost none of them.
Yeah. I think with Howell, I'm curious, because like, he's going to be a top 8 fantasy quarterback by the end of the year. Uh-huh. Do you think the talent is going to sort of come up to that level, or like, because people will start talking about him as a top 12, top 15 quarterback in the league. I don't think he is. I think he's somewhere around 23.
He would need to make a leap. He would need to make a leap because he doesn't do any of the things processing wise and decision making wise that Dak has shown that he can do over the past 6-7 years. Like,
yeah,
if you took away 10 pass attempts per game from Howell, he's probably like QB 15, 16. Like, it's all, it's quite literally all volume. Every time I look up, he's like 19 for 27 for 210 yards and he's no in the scores. Baker world. Yeah. It's so he's just like all empty calorie yards.
Yeah.
He's got talent. He's just going to end up being one of those middle of the road quarterbacks and he'll stay in the league. But like, I don't see how he gets much better with the decision making. He's just a gamer. It's like Heineke.
Yeah. I like that. Rich man's Heineke. Chris Berman, I'm going to finally get this right. Thurston Howell the third. Thurston Sam Howell the third. He says every single Monday night. He gave us no nicknames on Monday.
Nothing on Monday. He's just mailing it in, cash and checks.
Thurston Howell. And I was like, you really love Gilgan's Island.
Boomer. Yeah.
So we appreciate it.
He's as token as they get.
So the other running, or actually, let's get to running backs. I started with Zach Moss. As soon as we saw the injury news, we needed to get Zach Moss in there. Super productive when Taylor was out. He's $5,900, I think. And it's, you know, the volume is going to be there. He scores. He was getting touches when Taylor was there. But the offense is going to be kind of not completely run through him, but to a degree. So, and they're going to get into the red zone. So he's going to get looks there. He'll get.
Can we confirm Taylor is definitely out this week?
Yep.
He had thumb surgery.
It's a middle of the road matchup, but the volume is what we're after for that price. Like, everyone's going to play him. He's going to be in every lineup, but it just gives you so
he's
going
to be a 50% owned player this week.
Yeah. Once you get to that threshold of ownership in the Millie Maker, like, you can't have multiple guys at that point, but if there's a guy who's 50% owned by it, you have to have that guy. Cause if he goes off and you don't have him, you've eliminated half of the pool. So we kind of have to play him, honestly.
For $5,600, it's a must play.
If he was like 6,000-7,000, we could get away from it. But for that cheap, it's like the only guy down there who's going to be doing anything.
Yeah, you have to. So the other running back, Najee Harris. Matty, I was like, this guy doesn't excite me. I'm not in the zipper zone there with Najee. What are you glomming onto with him?
It's all evidence-based for me, as you know. So Steelers 2 weeks ago now fired Matt Canada unceremoniously, sent him off into a Viking funeral because he's just so bad at his job. And then last week they opened it up and they did a lot more and they were a little bit more creative and they have gone back. Like, they, Tomlin a few weeks ago was like, Warren's the guy, he's our starter. And then 2 full weeks since then, they've given Najee all the touches.
Yeah.
On top of that, Arizona, I mean, there's literally no one where every running back that they've faced has run for 100 yards and a score. Like, it's unprecedented how bad that defense is. That coupled with the fact that Pickett's not really a guy who's ever going to air it out and just like a band, they're going to run the ball. They're going to win that game. They're favored. They keep winning. So he's been, people left him for dead because he's Najee and there's like nothing really all that exciting about him, but he's had 15 plus points 3 of the last 4 weeks. So, yeah. And the only one he didn't was against Cleveland, which is kind of a free pass because
no running back does.
No.
And in that game too, and this, you know, might be a little bit of a concern, but we've got the tight end, we've got Freiermuth. He came back last week and I think it was like 9 targets for 130 yards, 8 catches. And, you know, Pickett, to your point, is not going to air it out constantly to Pickens or Deontay Johnson, who won't jump on a fumble, but he will look for Freiermuth on 3rd and 4. And, you know, that's when the defense is going to open up a little bit. They're going to have 8 guys in the box and Freiermuth can sneak over the top. And then you just hope he gets in the end zone, right? Like, that's the key. So
this is a gross week at tight end too. I mean, you look, he's the only one that's a reasonable price. Everybody else is super expensive this week. I mean, you get 5 tight ends over $6,000 and Kelsey's not even one of them.
Yep. Yeah, there's a lot of weird buys this week. You're right, though. It's gross. Like, unless you want to go down to, like, Hunter Henry, like, you know, playing against his old
team.
Then
you're in zero.
Yeah, I thought about that. I was trying.
But
to
he's not even cheap though. He's like to AD's
he's still 5,100.
Yeah, you can't, like, you got to go down to the Tommy Tremble zone if you want to try to find someone cheap. But like, what are we doing? We're saving $300-$400. Let's just take the guy who's getting targets. So,
well, I'd like to give us a little bit of applause and a pat on the back to you guys, sure, for always the bridesmaid, never the McBride. Yeah. We've got him up now to 6,700.
Yeah, he got the ASB bump.
He did.
The ASB ONIPBUMP.
So many acronyms. And then wide receiver to pair with Howell, we've got Jahan Dotson. We've been waiting for a Dotson game. We've had one. I feel like he's been snuck into our lineup probably three or four times. Yeah. He hasn't been a major disappointment, but he just, I'm waiting for that 25-point game. Any chance?
I mean, he's had a 20-point game, that Philly game. His floor for the past month or two has been like 7 or 8 points with the potential to get up to like 15, 16 where he's gotten. But he's under $6,000, and it's a game where we think there might be a lot of passes. We got to pick somebody, right? And I don't know how much Terry is, but he's obviously more money. So why would
he's
we
like
save 6, more money?
He's like 6,800. Yeah.
6,700, and he's got the same floor. They like average somehow. Howell's throwing all these passes, but
I know
receivers aren't like, getting points.
Yeah, it makes no sense. Something's up with the math over there. We're gonna have to figure that out, because every time I look, I don't know how he's scoring points, but it's just literally volume. So, yeah, this is a pick the cheaper guy scenario.
Defense, we couldn't squeeze the Broncos defense in here.
Oh, shame.
Is this sorry, the week that the Broncos had AB for 90% of the show?
Is this the week that the Broncos?
I'm going to tell you this right now. You could get them in there, but we've rejected and blocked it.
We gave you something else. We gave you another nugget.
You guys tried to like throw Sutton my way too, and I'm just holding off on that game entirely. And the
don't say you guys, because I shut that down immediately.
Yeah, he did. It was a process play for me. Actually, the process play is Mims, because of the amount of too high safety that the Texans play. But I don't trust Russ. He's not been good, Gibby. I'm sorry to tell you. If you look at any of the – he is the game manager of all game managers. Like, he is just, like, fumbling around out there.
Game manager who has been excellent in the red zone, who's like, not – and the key is they're not turning the ball over, right? Like, and
being the tallest midget, though.
Well,
what do you really get for that?
Yes.
Yeah, he is.
The tallest midget gets the job.
We've entered.
Look at Dinklage. Look at Dinklage compared to every other midget.
Dinklage has range. Dinklage has range. He's been in a lot of stuff. Russ.
Peter Dinklage?
Peter Dink, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we tried to give you Sutton. We tried to give you Sutton. We tried to give you some defense, and you rejected us. So don't expect it to come back around next week.
I won't. Our defense for the week is the Rams. And for no other reason other than they're 3,700, and we don't care that much about defense. And who do they have? They have the
Cleveland, who's been giving up the six most points so far this year to opposing defenses.
Yeah,
with plus they're going to have an elite quarterback this week, which is legitimately, I can't believe I'm saying this, like a little bit scary, because Flacco seems like he's undead, and he might just show up and throw the hell out of the ball. Like, I don't know what would surprise you in this game from Flacco. Would anything surprise you either way?
Yes.
What
him two touchdown passes would shock.
I don't think so.
Over 1.5.
I don't think so. I think anything's possible with Flacco. He's so elite.
I love it. We're not pinning our wagons to
we're putting Flacco in. Rip the whole lineup up. Start over.
Just get Flacco and Cooper in. Amari's a Ferrari.
He said today there was a quote. I don't know exactly what it was, but Amari said when Flacco throws the ball, it's like art. So
what kind of art? Like, cause I've seen
impressionist, I think.
Okay. Cause I've seen like first grade art. I've seen third grade art lately. I'm not, is
what
he
do
talking
you,
about?
What do you think? Hey, what's the parent policy on keeping your children's art?
I'm not a good judge of this because I have every single piece of artwork.
so you're the best at it then. So you're the outlier.
No, the worst. But I have literally, I haven't seen my refrigerator in 3 years.
Oh, that stresses me out. Just a bunch of wild paper. Much. Oh no.
The clutter, Maddie, you're not going to like it.
You're going to have to come feng shui that place.
Yeah. I think you got to, you know, kind of suss it out every
year. All right, I'll pop up.
Every semester.
My way up.
you know, take a look at what passes, what qualifies.
Well, all I hear is that you're a great dad because you're keeping a bunch of artwork that nobody wants.
Well, yeah. it might be of value at some point. So that's it for the week. Maddie, Alex, any lingering thoughts about week 13?
I just want you to know I'm looking up right now on DraftKings, and the only TD passer you can bet the over or under on is Stafford. No one else is listed as an option.
Wow.
Oh, for that Rams game?
For that game, yeah. Flacco's not even listed on
there. It's off the board because they don't know. They don't know. There's so much asymmetrical upside. Flacco could throw four touchdowns. We don't know. We don't know. No one knows.
All right, well, we ride with Joe.
Yep. Get anyway. Flacco in your lineups.
Enjoy the weekend, everyone. Congratulations on splitting the $1.1 million with us.
Oh, we won.
Yeah, we called it in. Yep.
Nice. That's easier. It's way easier than doing the lineup. Sick. Okay. Congrats.